So,
let me see. Andrea is here.
Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush the Elder, Clinton, W. Bush, Barack Obama, Trump, Biden, Trump. It's the 11th presidency of my life. And I can tell you this much. It doesn't matter who's in the White House in terms of your day-to-day life. The only thing that will change is how much the government's gonna tax you. So if you are happy, enjoy it. If you are sad, I get it. But all you need to do is watch the economy. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. If the economy is going well, there's no inflation, wages go up, prices come down, that's how you judge an effective president. Or the opposite. All the other stuff that they were throwing out there doesn't matter. So just be happy that you're alive, the sun is up, and it's a gorgeous day, because we got a change coming, and it's not a bad thing. Side question, though. How many of you actually voted? Put your hands up. Be proud. Okay. Now, this troubles me. Why? What was the excuse for all the rest of you? It's not like you didn't have a month to vote.
I'm not a U.S. citizen.
Well, that's a good reason. All right, so you're excused. Yeah, you're kind of not allowed to do that. And if you voted, that would be a bad thing.
Be informed, be educated, and participate. Because as I tell everybody I come across, if you don't vote, you don't have a right to bitch. So if you like bitching, vote, and you can complain.
Oh, I voted for this person and they're awful, or oh, I wish that person won. That's half the fun of being American.
All right. Speech.
Because at the end of the day, this is what it's all about. That speech. Speech. So, let's think what we've learned. We've learned a lot. We've done some big cases. We've learned that it's the Supreme Court that makes the decision on all constitutional matters. We've learned that the court's job is not to get involved in political issues. You know, it's not supposed to get involved in politics. We've learned that the scope of what the Supreme Court can do, of course, is controlled by congressional legislation. And we know that if the government makes any laws that impact speech in any way, shape, or form, it is by fault determined to be unconstitutional unless the government can prove a significant legitimate reason for it. And of course that restriction is narrowly tailored as not to interfere with speech in general. We've also learned that there are times when certain speech, depending upon when and where it happens, could present a clear and present danger of the type that the government has a duty to prevent. The old, you can't have a fire in a crowded theater. We've also learned that speech, even if it is controversial, has a place within our society. So long as it doesn't interfere directly and result in violence.
Speech, though, is powerful. So what happens
when an effective speecher, that makes no sense. I can't even talk. I was up late last night. An effective speaker uses speech in a way that is controversial. Michael, did you do this case? Okay, what happened?
Christian Veterans of America meeting in Chicago.
Yeah.
Arthur gave a speech touching on racial and national political elements.
Okay. What job does Arthur have?
I think he was a reverend.
Okay, he's a priest. He's a Catholic priest. And you said a Catholic priest gave a speech. What were the themes?
He talked about political, racial, and national elements.
Political, racial, national themes. Okay. So he gives this speech. What forum did he give the speech in? Did he just get on a soapbox on the side of a corner and start talking?
No.
Where was he when he gave the speech?
Auditorium.
He was in an auditorium, and why was he in the auditorium? He was invited. He was speaking before a group that wanted to hear from him, and he gave a speech. Okay. Well, what's the skinny? What's the controversy?
Because he was talking about a political and racial issues.
Okay. Yeah. And what did that result in?
People outside started, there was a protest outside.
Okay. So his speech led to a protest. So it's not like the last case where the protest used the words. Here it's a speaker that uses words that causes a protest. Was anyone hurt? Don't know. Was there any destruction of property? Don't know. All right. So priest inside speaks to a group that invited him. He speaks in these themes, and his words cause a protest. So, what happened to all the protesters? Were they arrested? The protesters were arrested? So, is this case about the protesters going to court? Who got arrested?
The priest.
Oh. Did he kill somebody? Did he rape somebody? Did he club somebody like a baby seal? Why was he arrested? What?
He was arrested because of violation of the local. He breached it.
How? I thought you said he didn't kill anybody, or rape anybody, or set buildings on fire. How did he breach the peace?
Because he caused,
How did he cause it? What was he doing?
Because of what he was saying. Because of his speech.
Hold on. His words caused a protest, and the government arrested him for his words. All right, I just want to be clear on this. Did he tell the protesters to protest? Did he tell the protesters to riot?
to go break things up? No. Was he even speaking to the protesters? No. Who was he speaking to?
The people in the auditorium.
And who were they?
The Christian
veterans. Oh, so they were Christian veterans. Do you think that the Christians had any problem in veterans, had any problem with anything he had to say? Why not? Why were they there in the first place?
He was there to give his speech.
He was there to give a speech to them. So do you think they had a problem with anything he said?
I don't think so.
No, they were there to hear him. Who were the people that had the problem?
People outside.
The people on the outside. Oh, so it's not like he used his words and these guys went protesting and destroying and going crazy. No, 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 no. These people were the one protesting and going crazy. Why?
Because of what he was saying.
So they didn't like his words. They were offended. Oh, man, that's awful. Does anyone disagree with anything that Michael said? Did he miss anything? Or did he cover everything we think is necessary to understand what's going on here? All right, good job, Michael. So, he gets arrested because he broke a statue. What was the statue? Passed by who? Was it the U.S. government that passed this statue? What? City of Chicago. So it was the city of Chicago. By the way, if the local city passes a law, it's called an ordinance. And what did the ordinance say? Because to be put on trial for breaking the law, you gotta know what the law said. Yeah, loud.
The ordinance permitted speech that stirs up public resentment.
Okay, so the ordinance prohibited speech? You said it prohibited speech?
Prohibited speech that stirs up public resentment.
Oh, speech that stirs public Andrea, what is speech?
Words.
Words. Words that do what? Where's it coming from? Yeah, okay, all right. In the literal sense, yeah. But why do you use those words?
Because To get a message out.
Yeah, to get a message out. You're trying to communicate with somebody else, right? All right, so we understand what speech is, but now we have the city passing a law that says, you can't do speech if it stirs public resentment. What does that mean?
I would say, like, it means, like, causes the public to act a certain way.
Okay,
like,
how?
Like, in a negative way.
In a negative way, so they kind of don't like it.
Yeah.
So, wait, let me get this straight. So they passed the law that says you can't say anything that makes people mad.
Technically.
Technically. Is that a good thing?
Yes. It kind of prevents people from speaking in a certain way. But at the same time, people have free speech so they can say anything.
Well, you can't have it both ways. So which is it? Should people be able to communicate their what they have to say, or should they be stopped if other people have an issue with it? You do know, you just don't want to say, and you should say. What do you think? So you think we should limit speech?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What did the jury find? Because he was put on trial. Did the jury believe that he should be held responsible for his words triggering a protest because they were offended, which technically, I guess, follows under the parameters of the ordinance? Did the jury find him guilty, or did they acquit him?
He was guilty.
He was found guilty! You said words that people didn't like, so you are at fault. How was he punished? He was fined. How much? $100. Now, $100 is not a lot of money in today's standards, but $100 in 1949 was a ton of money. All right. What did he do, or his attorneys do, when he was found guilty? Did he sit back and pay the fine? What did he try doing?
He appealed.
Before he appealed, and I don't know where I got this fact. I think it was from the Supreme Court fact pattern. He did something that was technical. His attorneys actually filed a motion seeking judgment notwithstanding the verdict. Janov. What's Janov? Anyone remember?
The court got it so wrong,
It's not the court.
The jury got it so wrong, the judge has to make the decision.
It's when the jury got it so wrong, the judge will overturn the jury's decision. Why were they claiming that the jury got it wrong? This is part of the argument that would go all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Jury was told breach of peace means to stir public anger, invite dispute, and bring a disturbance.
So the error was the jury instruction. That this equals this. Was that the case? Clearly, he did not feel that way. But what did the trial judge do?
He
Did the trial judge grant the motion? Judgment notwithstanding the verdict? Did the judge overturn the jury's decision? No. He let it stand. So then he appealed within the state court system. What was the basis of his appeal after he lost with Janov? Bless you. What is this doing? This ordinance?
Taking away his First Amendment.
Taking away his First Amendment rights. The First Amendment basically gives you the right to do what? Speak freely. Did the appeals court or the state Supreme Court in Illinois buy that argument? Was the jury's decision reversed in the state court system? No, it was not. So, he then filed for a cert petition seeking a writ of certiorari so the Supreme Court would take it up. Did they? Well, yeah, we wouldn't be talking about anything if they didn't. All right, very good. What's the issue before the Supreme Court? Oh, all right. Fighting words. Fighting words. Why do you think they reference fighting words? What are fighting words?
Words that provoke people to violence.
So fighting words is language whose purpose is solely to provoke. In order for him to be found guilty under the statute, his words must have triggered the breach of peace. In other words, his words must have provoked a harmful, violent reaction. Good. So that's the first thing that we need to look at. Question. Is some speech provocative? Give me an example.
Like what the Southern the Baptist Church did to like thank God for dead soldiers.
Oh, that's provocative, right? God loves dead soldiers. Is that going to provoke a reaction by someone who sees it? Okay. But does those words result in violence? In all instances, or most instances? No, what would most people do if they saw that sign? Would they go fight the people holding that sign? Would they try to shoot them, club them, stab them, run them over with an automobile? No, what would most people do?
That's messed up and go on with their day.
That's messed up. Just go on with their day. One of the most controversial images that I've seen in my lifetime. The piss Christ. The piss Christ. You can Google that on your own time. That image, that expression, caused me to go, dude. But I did not go down to New York City and try to kill the person who made it. Does the government
have the power to stop speech, even if it stirs public resentment. Why not, Trinity? Oh, it's not even equally applied across this. It's only one particular area. So there's one particular area where you can't say certain things. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I'm
just That could be problematic. No? All right, question for you, Trinity. The court quoted a preceding case, Dijon v. Oregon. And it said, and I quote, "It is only through free debate and free exchanges of ideas that government remains responsive to the will of the people and peaceful change is effected. The right to speak freely and to promote a diversity of ideas and programs is therefore one of the chief distinctions that sets us apart from totalitarian regimes." Should the government be in the business of protecting people from someone else's words?
No.
Why?
You can't really control someone else's reaction to what you say.
Okay. Is just because you don't like what someone says, does that mean it always is harmful? No. So do we want government making those subjective decisions on what's good speech and what's wrong speech?
No.
Why not?
Because that's supposed to be our right to say what we want to say.
What would be the consequence of the government silencing certain speech?
It's all opinion-based. It's like what you think is bad speech.
Okay, so if you're in government and you're making the decision on what's good speech, what type of speech are you going to allow?
Speech that you think is good speech.
Okay, and what would be good speech in your opinion? What would be good speech in any of your opinion?
Subjective.
What?
Subjective.
Well, I know, but I want to know. What would be good in your mind? Would criticism of you be good?
No.
No. Does anyone want to be criticized? So if you're in government, would you allow criticism? Then what the hell is the whole point of free speech? Why did the Founding Fathers put it in the First Amendment? What is its purpose?
Criticize.
Who?
The government.
The government! Did anyone look at what he was criticizing? Again, I kind of did a deep dive. I did a Google search beyond just the case. Did anyone actually see what he was criticizing?
Am I said communism?
He hated commies! Who also did he not like? He criticized Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a former president of the United States, a political figure. He also criticized FDR's wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, who also was a public figure. He also criticized the Jews. Now, are these not political, racial, or national themes that could impact the government? How could it impact the government?
If you have someone going around criticizing the former president and the policies that they enacted and groups that supported that president and other groups perceived to be harmful to the nation, how could that impact government? I want the help. We'll do it. I'll go down the rabbit hole. What did the Democrat Party, or how did the Democrat Party describe Donald Trump over the last 4 years?
Racist.
He was racist. How also did they describe him? What? He was Hitler. How also did they describe him?
Criminal.
How also did they describe him?
Rapist.
He was a what? Rapist? Actually, yeah, they tried doing that as well. They were using speech to attack a political enemy. Why were they doing that?
To get people not to vote for them.
Because they were trying to win elective office to get people not to vote for him. What happens if he was not allowed to respond? What would be the only thing we would have heard?
Yeah, he was a racist and all those things.
Would that have changed the opinions of the people in our country?
Yeah.
And what would have been the result? Yesterday, the person who lost would have won. That's politics. That's the impact of politics. But you want the government being in the position to decide, well, we'll let the Democrats talk, but not the Republicans. Because who are the Republicans going to criticize?
The Democrats.
Why are they going to criticize the Democrats?
So they can get votes.
So they can get votes. Who is responsible for listening to both sides and then deciding what you agree with and what you don't? It's the people. Should it ever be the government? No. What happens if they say something that's highly offensive?
Banned from Twitter.
They'll kick you off of social media, particularly if the FBI funnels millions of dollars to it to block certain posts and to throttle things down, as was exposed by the Twitter files.
Facebook.
Well, Facebook was doing the same thing. Mark Zuckerberg admitted it. Oh yeah. There was a lot of manipulation going on, and it was all driven by the government. Is that what we want? Is that a free society? They were talking about this back in the 1940s. There was references to totalitarian regimes. Guess what happens today if you try talking about dear leader in North Korea in a way that's less than flattering?
Death.
What do you think would happen if you lived in the Soviet Union and you said something negative about, say, Joseph Stalin?
Starved to death.
Yeah, you'd be sent out to a gulag in Siberia and you'd be worked to death. Or how about when the Nazis were in charge of Germany? Or how do you think of actual totalitarian regimes? Speech was censored. So that way there could be no criticism of the government. The other side didn't have a right to speak. Is that American?
Okay. So let's go back to this. According to the majority opinion, what is the function of free speech? Why do we have free speech?
To express what we think, our views.
And what could that result in? So you have a right to express your ideas.
right? What could your ideas result in?
Other people think it the same way as you?
Some people are going to think the same way as you. But we're also what's going to invite?
Disagreement.
There's going to be dispute. How do you ever get anything accomplished if you don't allow the dispute to happen? Because what happens to adults when they dispute things?
A solution.
And how is the solution reached?
By talking about it.
By talking! The First Amendment exists so we can talk. There's nothing in the First Amendment that says we have to agree. But rather, we're supposed to talk. Because by talking, having conversations, you can come up with solutions. Compromises that work best. Okay.
Good. We're understanding the majority opinion. All right. Question. Does that mean free speech is absolute? That there should never be any barriers to any form of speech? Why not?
Because it could be helpful.
How? Give me an example.
You were threatened.
Threat? That could be harmful?
Well, like, is that what you say? You're...
I think you're a stinky pants.
No. You're saying that you're going to, like, kill someone?
Oh. No. What about the situation where this was like 2 or 3 years ago, where I think they were down on the Cape, the teenage girl was using social media to basically bully a kid and kept saying, "Oh, you're so ugly, just kill yourself." And what did the kid do? Killed himself. Should that speech be allowed?
No.
I think it was his girlfriend.
I think they were.
Is this the gay screen that was in the car? He was like turning the engine on or something?
I don't remember how he killed himself.
And she's like, just do it.
Yeah, he got out the car and she's like, get back in the car.
Oh, yeah. But like, did he go like jump off something? Or
no, he used his car to come and knock
So, should government prevent that speech?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the difference by you using your words to attack an individual and trying to get them to kill themselves as opposed to saying, I think Democrats are communists. What's the difference?
The way you say it.
What do you mean?
Like, the way you're saying it, and you keep saying it in like an aggressive manner.
Oh. So, let's say... Let's see if I can understand what you're saying. So, let's say you were walking down the hall next to me, and you're on your phone, you're not paying attention like most people, and then you spin real hard with your bag, and you hit me with your bag, and it knocked my coffee on the ground, and I start swearing at you for being a klutz. Is that the same?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Because you're just swearing at me, you're not, like if you were threatening to kill me in that instance, maybe, but not if you're just swearing at me.
Okay, here's another one, and this is more hyperbolic. One of my buddies beat me a couple weeks ago in fantasy football. I was undefeated. I was hoping to go this whole season undefeated because I had the best draft of my life, and I am rolling, but somehow he beat me, and I said, man, next time I see you, I'm going to F you up.
Different because you guys are friends and he probably knows you're joking.
Context. Oh man, you guys are paying attention. I hate that. Alright, yeah, okay, fine. So it's not the same.
No.
So what is said, where is said?
How
it's said. To whom is it said? Alright, so again, I think Democrats are communists. Oh, okay. Alright. So, should I be allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I be allowed to say that and I don't, but I'm using this to model his words, that like Jews are somehow bad. Or that particular in political individuals like Barack or Hussein Obama or Bill Clinton are bad.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying that that's what you think.
Oh. What happened to him was doing the same thing. He ain't going for jail. Actually, he might have gone overnight, but he had to pay a fine. So he was punished for engaging in political speech. Does this statute work? Why not? According to the majority. And by the way, this is a 5-4 decision. Does this statute work? According to the majority.
It contradicts the First Amendment.
What part of the statute contradicts the First Amendment?
The breach of peace, the speech causing.
Did you read the statute? Did it actually say that specifically? Oh, it was in there, I think. Let me see. So he was charged with making or aiding an improper noise which resulted in a riot, disturbance, speech of peace, or diversion tending to a breach of peace within the city limits, which was in violation of Chapter 193, Section 1, Subsection 1 of Revised Code of 1939, which specific clause says that, and I quote, misbehavior may constitute a breach of peace if it stirs the public to anger, invites dispute, brings about a condition of rest, creates a disturbance, or if it molests inhabitants in the enjoyment of peace and quiet by arousing alarm. Did his words result in this directly? Was that his intent? What was the intent of his words? To listen or talk to a crowd that wanted to hear him speak, give his opinions.
Does the fact that the people outside didn't like his opinions impact this in any way, shape, or form in terms of the First Amendment?
Yes or no? No. Question. You said First Amendment. How the heck does the First Amendment apply here?
Has to do with the words he said.
What does the First Amendment start off with? 5 most beautiful words in the English language. So did Congress make this law?
No.
Who made this law?
Chicago.
So how the hell does this apply? Did anyone pick up on that? Anyone ponder that?
How does a clause in the U.S. Constitution that specifically pertains to Congress, how does it apply to the city of Chicago?
Well, states can't make laws that contradict.
States can't pass laws that contradict congressional law. No. Because is the Bill of Rights congressional law?
No.
Where is the Bill of Rights?
Amendment to what?
We don't know. What did the Bill of Rights amend?
Constitution.
Which Constitution?
What do you mean, which Constitution?
Which Constitution?
The American one?
Okay, yeah, Constitution of the United States. Is that not different than the Constitution that exists for the city, state of Illinois? Or the charter that exists for the city of Chicago?
Are you saying if it's different,
That's what I'm basically asking you, yes. Because I said, is it the same?
It's
so if you
same.
Want to say, is it different? Oh, it's different. What makes them different?
One's for Chicago.
Okay, well, the charter creates the government in Chicago. State Constitution in Illinois creates the state government for Illinois. And what does the United States Congress create?
Laws.
No, government of the United States. Constitution creates the governments.
I'm trying to figure out how does this clause that specifically deals with the U.S. government have an impact on something that the city did? It was only alluded to, but it was still in the majority opinion before they got to the final holding. They referenced the 14th Amendment. Did anyone catch that?
No?
What level of government do the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, the 14th Amendment, which has equal protection and due process, and the 15th Amendment, which grants the freedmen the right to vote, what level of government do those amendments specifically relate to? U.S. government? State governments? Or local governments?
State
governments. There is a due process clause in the Fifth Amendment. But in the 14th Amendment, there's another due process clause that says no state shall deny due process of law. Well, the Supreme Court uses this mechanism to apply the Bill of Rights to the states. The Bill of Rights is only supposed to be the U.S. government. But in order to ensure everyone gets the same, the Bill of Rights are incorporated.
Corporation Doctrine. The Incorporation Doctrine. The Supreme Court basically says that there are certain rights in the Bill of Rights that apply to everybody. First Amendment, Second Amendment, and Eighth Amendment. Those are the amendments that have been incorporated across the country. So now they apply.
I know that was graduate school level stuff, but again, I read it. It caught my attention. I didn't know if it caught any of your attentions.
All right. So the Supreme Court says the First Amendment will apply to this case because of the 14th Amendment. And as a result, what happens to this ordinance? Is the punishment that was made under it and the ordinance as a whole, even if only part of it's flawed, does it stand up to the U.S. Constitution and the First Amendment? Why? I'll help you out and I'll say I agree with you, but why? What do you not want government in the business of doing?
Limiting your speech.
Because?
Then they have power over you.
They have power over you. They can tell you what to say, they can tell you what to think. And is that freedom?
No.
No. So five justices of the Supreme Court said the punishment must be reversed. Come Friday, we're going to do the dissents. Be ready. Go have some coffee.
Did you say?
What?
You said something about dissents.
Yeah, on a Friday we're going to cover the dissents. So go on the case, make sure you go through the dissents. Try to understand what the four dissenting justices were saying.
Because at the end of the day, we're going to do a poll. And we're going to decide which was right in our opinion. Was it the majority or was it the minority?